thank you this morning for our time together. We are few in number, but Lord, we've known your presence with us. And Lord, we're thankful for the thoughts that we've been able to enjoy this morning, thoughts of our Savior. And we just give you thanks for that and for your goodness to us. As we turn to your word now, we pray that you would continue to bless and to guide and to help, and that you would give me the strength that I need, and give each of us the ability to hear what's being said and to apply it to our lives. And Lord, we pray that you would bless those who would teach in the Sunday school this morning, and that you would bless those young ones who are starting off in life, and that, Lord, you would be with them, and that you would grow them and protect them and preserve them from the world around them, and grow them up to be the men and women that you would want them to be, to work for you and to be yours. We just commit our time now to you in Jesus' name. I did struggle a bit over the course of the last couple of weeks to know what the Lord had for us this morning. And my intention was that whatever it was going to be brief. It's not going to be brief. And the Lord, I feel, has taken me very, very definitely to the last two chapters in the book of Joshua. And if you were to title this morning, it would be Godly Advice from an Old Warrior Saint, Lessons from the Life of Joshua. This morning, I want to think about the wisdom that Joshua shares with the people of God at the end of his life. So you can be turning there to Joshua chapter 23 and 24. I'd like to read sections of it. I'm not going to read all of it. I'd just like to read sections of verses to get a sense of these chapters. And I would encourage you, when you get home, or at some point even during the week, if the Lord puts it on your heart, to read these two chapters for yourself in your own time. Joshua chapter 23, starting in verse 2. Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers, and said to them, "I am old, advanced in years." He reminds them in verse 3 that they have seen all that the Lord their God has done to all the nations because of them. He says, "For the Lord your God is he who has fought for you." Therefore, he says, verse 6, "Be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. And lest you go among the nations who remain among you," verse 7, "you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them." But he says to them in verse 8 then, "You shall hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God is he who fights for you, as he has promised." Therefore, he says, verse 11, "Take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God." Then if you turn over to chapter 24, reading in verse 14, Joshua says, "Fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt." And then he says very emphatically, "Serve the Lord." And in verse 15 of chapter 14, he gives them a choice. He says, "If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered, verse 16, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." The Lord would bless his word to us this morning. As you can see, there's a lot there. There's actually more there in those chapters than I mentioned. I'm not going to get around to all of this morning. I wouldn't be able to do that. But I would like to point out just four little things. There is a lot of helpful advice from Joshua in these passages. And I want us to get the best out of these this morning for our encouragement. Joshua, first of all, encourages them to be courageous, to do all that is written in God's word, to be keepers and doers of God's word. Secondly, he tells them to hold fast to the Lord their God, to cling to him. Hold him fast and don't let him go. He tells them to take careful heed to themselves that they love the Lord their God, that they love him. And then fourthly, he tells them to choose to serve the Lord because that's what he and his family are doing. So, point number one, Joshua would have the people of God to be people of the Word of God, readers of the Word, keepers of the Word, doers of the Word. In verse 6, he tells them to be very courageous, or strong, as the ESV has it, to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest they turn aside from it to the right or to the left, lest they go among the nations and those who remain among them. He doesn't want them to associate with or to be influenced by the nations among them. He doesn't want them influenced by ungodly ideas about them. Clearly, there were still Canaanites and Amorites and other people of other nations in the land who worshipped other gods and lived for other things and lived for other ideas. Joshua did not want the people of God seduced by or influenced by those people, because he knew the things that they pursued were not of God. Therefore, they were harmful to the people of God. Joshua did not want them being influenced by worldly influences like that. The other nations worshipped and pursued gods and ideas that might on the face of it sound reasonable, or even make sense to some level. But they were actually idolatrous and destructive. But Joshua knew how to counter those ideas and influences, to nullify them and render them powerless. He tells them to be very courageous and to keep and to do all that is written. The Word of God is the answer to counter the influences of the world about us. Because it's God's word, it's God's view on things, God's estimation of things. God, the creator, the one who sees the beginning and end of everything, who sees everything clearly. God's word is his estimation of things. Joshua would have them reading and keeping and acting on God's word. Joshua wants them to keep it, to lock it up in their hearts, to have it here in their hearts, to treasure it in their memories, to bring it into their memories, to store it in their memories and in their hearts. That's where it's going to have an effect on you. That's where it's going to have an effect on the choices you make, the things that you're interested in, and the things that you hold to. And he wants them to observe it, to be doers of the word, not hearers only, as James would tell the church a millennium later. James 1, verse 22. James tells the church that if they are just hearing the word and not acting on it, they are deceiving themselves. That's interesting, isn't it? If we're hearing the word, reading the word, and not acting on what we're hearing and reading, we're deceiving ourselves. The word of God needs to take effect in the heart of the believer, so that when we read it, we understand what it's saying, it changes our attitude towards things. If we're reading and hearing and not acting on the word of God, we're deceiving ourselves. What we read needs to be implemented. Joshua would have us to be doers of all that is written, practitioners of all that is written, daily living out the word of God in our lives. So we need to be reading the word of God every day. Some of the young lads have kind of covenanted together to go through the book of Proverbs every month. It's 31 chapters, so it will last all the months. And pick a chapter a day and to read it every day. And I just think there's something very lovely about that. I'd encourage all of you to do it. There's wisdom there from God for the people of God. And to do that on a daily basis, to start your day in Proverbs, not exclusively, but to start there. And as you read, learn. And as you learn, apply. You should hold them accountable in that to make sure that they're keeping it going. Joshua wants them to be very courageous and strong in the keeping and doing of God's word. And it takes strength, character, and courage to do that. The daily practice of God's word in the face of a world that is pursuing other ideas and other gods and other things. And as plausible and as well packaged as these ideas and gods might be, they are not God. And the world pursues them to their own destruction. Paul would encourage the church in Ephesians chapter 6 to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Joshua reminded the people in verse 9 that the Lord had driven out from before them the great and strong nations. And then he tells them something very interesting. I was stunned by this when I read it. He says, verse 9, "But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day." Nobody has been able to stand against you to this day. They crushed all their enemies. Why? Why? Because they kept to God's word and lived by it. That's why. And as a result, God went before them. The Lord had told the people in Joshua 1:7-9 to be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The Lord says to them, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, because the Lord says to them, 'For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.'" They were to be people of the word. And the same is true for us in this new covenant. We too are to be people of the word. It is so important. I know this is basic stuff. I know it is. But it's so very important that we remember this. Too often we get distracted by things. We lose the warmth of these things. And we drift. It's important to be reminded of the value and the importance of God's word. Are you a Christian this morning? Are you a believer this morning? well, then you have this responsibility to feed them with God's word and to have them speak to you, to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. Lest they turn aside from it to the right, to the left. Lest they go among these nations and those who remain among them. He doesn't want them to associate with or be influenced by the nations among them. Clearly, there were still Canaanites and Amorites and other peoples from different nations in the land who worshipped other gods and lived for other things and other ideas. If you're in school, if you're in college, for many of you in your families, among your friends, there will be other people who hold to different things. Sometimes those things can be persuasive. But the word of God is the arbiter as to what is true and what is false. Joshua did not want the people of God seduced by or influenced by those people, because he knew the things they pursued were not of God and therefore were harmful to the people of God. The other nations worshipped and pursued gods and ideas that might on the face of it sound reasonable or even make sense on some level, but were actually idolatrous and destructive. I've gone through this already, haven't I? That's the problem when you don't know where you are. But anyway, we'll keep going. In verse 8 of chapter 23, Joshua tells them to hold fast to the Lord your God, who is with you wherever you go. This takes me then to point number 2. They are to be strong and of good courage, and hold fast to the Lord their God, to cling to him. How do we hold fast to the Lord our God? We have just seen how, haven't we? We've just noticed how we hold fast to the Lord. Holding fast to the Lord is holding fast to God's word. It's in his word we discover him. We see him. We hear him. It's in his word we grow in him, increase in our confidence in him, and increase in our love for him. We hold fast to him when we hold fast to his word. When we are diligent in God's word, we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us in it, to shape us by it, and to mature us in it. That's how we hold fast to the Lord our God. And we don't let go. We don't allow worldly influences to loosen our grip on the Lord or his word. We don't allow our fingers to be prized away from God onto something else. Jonah, when he was tired of running, I love this. Jonah, when he was tired of running from the Lord, concludes his repentance this way. Jonah repented, and this is how he concludes his repentance. Jonah 2, verse 8, and this is the NIV. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. If you're holding on to worthless idols this morning, you have turned away from God's love for you. You should let them go and return to the love of God and cling again to him. Paul to the Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12 says this: not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus our Lord has laid hold of me. Isn't that lovely? All the while we endeavor to lay hold of the Lord, he is laying hold of us, and he'll never let us go. I love God's testimony of Hezekiah in 2 Kings 18, verses 5 and 6. It says this: he trusted the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judea, nor who were before him. For he held fast to the Lord, and he did not depart from following him. That's a wonderful testimony. He held fast to the Lord. That's what we need to be able to say. We're holding fast. Our grip is not loosened. We're holding fast to God. Jonah said, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. Their affection goes elsewhere. They give their love to things that are not God, things that don't love them. They give their affections to things that don't actually love them. And that brings me to point number 3 this morning. Joshua tells them in verses 10 to 11 of chapter 3 that the Lord your God is he who fights for you, as he promised you. God has promised them that he will go before them and fight for them. Therefore, he says, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Or as the ESV has it, be careful therefore to love the Lord your God, to love him because he has loved them and gone before them and demonstrated his love for them. The Lord had demonstrated his love for them by bringing them into the land and fighting to win it for them. He fought for them. Make that mistake again. Of course, all of this, by the way, is in the context of the Old Testament covenant that God made with Moses and the people. We are under a different New Testament covenant, but the same principles applying to us. The Apostle John in 1 John 4 and verse 19 says that we love him because he first loved us. That's true, isn't it? God is the one who has made the first approach. He is the one who has stepped out towards us. We love him because he first loved us. Paul tells us that God demonstrated his love. He demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5 and verse 8. That's how God has demonstrated his love for us by giving us his son. And we talked about that this morning in a very beautiful way. Christ won a great victory by dying for us and rising again. He went in and fought for us and won a great victory, defeating man's greatest enemy, which is death, and bringing us into new life with him. That's what God has done for us in Christ. It's wonderful. We should love him. John in 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10 says, and by the way, if you're here this morning and you're thinking to yourself, I don't know that I love the Lord, I would suggest it's because you've lost sight of who he is and what he's done for you. You need to get back to the gospel. You need to share the gospel with yourself. Remind yourself of who he is, what he has done for you. Think about the huge step that he took coming into the world to die personally for you. If that doesn't cause you to love him, check your pulse, you're probably dead. John, in 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10 says, in this, the love of God was manifest towards us. God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Then he says, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the sacrifice for our sins. That's the glorious gospel, isn't it? And if God has demonstrated his love for you like that, then you should respond in kind and love him. You should respond to him. Your response to him should be to love him, and to love him much, and to love him alone. We can't love idols and love the Lord at the same time. It doesn't work. Particularly when you consider what God has done for us. Those things that we idolize, those channels that we go to, those people that we follow, they didn't die for you. They didn't deal with your sin. They don't bring peace between you and God. They can't do that. Christ alone has done that. One day a scribe asked the Lord, which is the first commandment of all? Mark 12, verse 28 to 31. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Loving God with all our hearts, our souls, all our minds, and all our strength is the greatest of all the commandments. To love him supremely with our full person, every part of who we are loves God. Our hearts love him, our minds love him, our strength, with our strength we love and we serve him. We are to love him above all others with all our faculties, mind, soul, and body. Think for a minute all that Joshua had seen in his life, the things he had done. In our recent Bible studies, we considered some of that. Joshua the warrior, Joshua the faithful, patient servant, the young man who would go on to lead the people into the promised land, Joshua the young man who understood the scale of things in the light of God. Giants are tiny in Joshua's thinking because God is great. God is huge. Joshua held fast to his God despite the size of the giants in the nation in front of him. Now, an old man, he tells the people of God that they too need to hold fast to the Lord their God in the same way. He takes careful heed to themselves that they love the Lord their God exclusively and not flirt with the world about them. This is how Joshua had lived his life. He wants them to do the same, and by extension, God wants us to do the same. He wants them to be watchful and vigilant, and not get caught up in the behavior and thinking of the world around them. They were to be a holy people, separate and distinct from the peoples about them. The same is true for us today. Are we not surrounded by worldly influences that compete for our attention and our affections and our love? Influences that can grind us down and erode our spiritual potency. Influences with the capability to affect our character or our behavior or our development. Influences that shape not just what we think about, but even the way we think. Joshua would have us hold fast to the Lord and take careful heed to ourselves that we love the Lord our God and him alone. To love God is to desire him, to yearn for his righteousness, his word, and his grace. As the psalmist says, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. Psalm 42 and verse 1. If we love God, we would be like Mary of Bethany, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, Luke 10, verse 39. If we love God, his word will be more precious to us than gold, than much gold, much pure gold, sweeter than honey from the comb, Psalm 19, verse 10. If we love God, we will obey him. Jesus tells us, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, John 14, verse 15. As the psalmist says, I delight to do your will, O my God. Psalm 40, verse 8. And if we love him, we'll serve him. This is my fourth point, and it's my, I'll finish at this point. Chapter 24, verse 14, Joshua says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river in Egypt." And then he emphatically says to them, serve the Lord. Serve God, serve him, and serve him alone. Don't be serving other gods, but serve the Lord alone. Joshua gives them a choice. He says, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, in other words, if you think it's wrong to serve the Lord, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Listen to this. All of us serve something. We do. You might not think that, but you do. We all serve something. Whether the gods of which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But Joshua says to them, as for me, my house, we will serve the Lord. We wake up every morning, don't we, with a choice to make. Who will I serve today? God gives us that choice every morning, and he respects that choice. Joshua and his house had always served the Lord. That's the way he lived. He was a keeper and doer of the word of God, and he held fast to God, and he loved him to the end, and he served him to the end. So, how will you serve on any given day? How is this done? Simple. Start in his word. Let God there direct you, enable you, empower you, and then look for opportunities to serve. And there's lots of them here in the church, brothers and sisters that need encouragement, ringing them, encouraging them, praying for them, dropping around to them possibly, reaching out to an unsaved world. There's a whole world of different ways that we can serve the Lord. It's for the Lord to direct you to do that, not me. But it's for you to go before him on a daily basis and find out what it is that he would have you do. Prepare yourself to serve on a daily basis. Be stocked up in God's word, enabled and empowered by it, strengthened by it, so that when opportunity presents itself during the day, you are enabled and empowered to serve the one who loves you, the one whom you love. The writer to the Hebrews says, chapter 9, verses 13 and 14, listen carefully to this point, to his point. He says, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sacrifice for the purifying of the flesh, if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Christ has cleansed us to serve, washed us in the blood to serve the Lord. Jesus in John 12 and verse 26 says, and with this I'll finish, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him, my Father, will honor." There will be honor from the Father. But that's not our primary motive, is it? Our primary motive should be that we love him. We serve him because we love him. So, the advice from Joshua, an old warrior saint, be doers of the word, read it, keep it in your hearts. Cling to the Lord, hold fast to him, love him, and serve him. Choose every day to love and serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word to us. This is the easy part. the hearing of these things. I pray, Lord, that you would empower all of us, those who are here with us, those who are listening in online. Empower all of us to love and serve the Lord, to hold fast to him, to be readers of the Word of God, people who keep it in our hearts, people who treasure it in our hearts. I pray that you would do that for us. We, each of us here, want to grow personally with you. This is how we grow. We want the church to grow. This is how the church grows. We want you to give us the strength and the courage and the character to do this. And by it, Lord, by it to see you and to see the world around us for what it truly is, and to love you and serve you. Father, we give thanks this morning for our time together. We think of our brothers and sisters, particularly those who aren't well this morning, and there are a few. Lord, we pray that you would take them up and heal them and restore them to good health soon. We commit each of them into your care today. We thank you for them, Lord, each and every one of them. They're not here with us, but they're precious to us, every one of them, precious to us. Bless them this day. Bless them over the course of this week, we pray. In Jesus, our wonderful Savior's lovely name.